I am not ashamed of the gospel, which means good news. I'm not ashamed about the good news about salvation through Messiah, Yeshua, the Lord Jesus, because this message unleashes the power of God to bring salvation to everyone who believes the message, and salvation from the very real and deadly forces of Satan, sin, and death is our absolute greatest need. And this message is to go first to the Jewish people and then to the Gentiles. Shalom, this is Rabbi Lauren, and I'm coming to you live today by Skype from the studios of Congregation Shema Yisrael with Jesus Made Me Kosher. That's right, Jesus Made Me Kosher. My guest today is Stephen Gehr, who grew up in a Jewish family in Brooklyn, New York, and also Aberdeen, New Jersey, where he was educated in both the church and the synagogue due to his distinctive heritage as a Messianic Jew. Steve is a fourth-generation Jewish believer in Jesus. He earned his bachelor's from Trenton State College and a master's of theology degree from Dallas Theological Seminary, one of our very best seminaries in this country. In addition to being Ariel Ministries' new Director of Ministry Operations, he's also the founder and director of Sojourner Ministries, a ministry dedicated to exploring the Jewish heart of Christianity. And I like that name, Sojourner Ministry, because the name is derived from the Hebrew meaning of Mr. Gehr's last name. In Hebrew, the word Gehr means sojourner or wanderer. And thank God, Baruch Hashem, praise the Lord, that this particular wanderer, this wandering Jew's faith and his journey has led him to the conviction that Yeshua, Jesus, is the Messiah of Israel and the Savior of the world. Steve, welcome to Jesus Made Me Kosher.
Thank you. Thank you. I was getting very impressed when I heard who your guest was, and then I realized, oh, that's me.
Yes, but it's still impressive, Steve. But let's start with your story. How did the living God, the three-in-one God of Israel, the God of our fathers, reveal himself to you, and specifically that Yeshua is our wonderful Jewish Messiah? How has Jesus made you kosher?
You know, it's a very interesting story, and unfortunately, it's kind of unique. And I hope that it gets less unique, honestly. I pray that it gets less unique. I actually am a fourth-generation Jewish believer. I know you mentioned that, but a lot of people don't know what that is. They never heard that phrase, that expression. It simply means that almost 100 years ago now, my great-grandmother, Helen Kosher, she was an immigrant to America, Brooklyn, and she needed some help. She needed some financial aid. And American Board of Missions to the Jews had a medical dispensary that they were operating in Brooklyn, and she came for some help. And they gave her not only some medical help, but they invited her to come to what they called Sunday school. And they shared with her in Yiddish and her children what it was to believe in the Jewish Messiah, that Jesus was the Jewish Messiah. And thank God she believed, and several of her children as well believed, one of whom was my grandmother, and she passed down her faith to her daughter. That was my mother, who passed down her faith to me. So, you know, I was born into a family that was already well established, at least one portion of it was already well established as Jewish believers. We called ourselves at the time Hebrew Christian. Messianic wasn't in vogue yet at the time. We were Hebrew Christians, Jewish believers. And I was prayed for I think, literally generations. Well, first of all, because I'm the first male who believed in Jesus. It was all women in my family for three generations prior to me. And so a lot was invested in me, and I don't think I had much of a chance. I didn't have much of an opportunity to say no from birth. Jesus was shared with me, and I have no recollection of any time in my life that I did not trust and love Jesus as a Messiah.
Really?
Yeah, it's really unique. Of course, you know, I made a profession of faith And then, you know, you make another profession of faith when you're a kid, every couple of years just to make sure, oh, well, I really need it now. No, I have a profound memory of being very, very young, as young as I can, go back, and knowing that Jesus was the Messiah, praying, just a quiet, firm, confident awareness that, of course, God was real, and of course, Jesus was my Messiah.
You know, that's great, Steve. I have heard stories like that before, those who were blessed by God to grow up in a family that knew the living God and just from their earliest childhood had this awareness that, you know, God was real, that, you know, Yeshua was the Messiah and the Savior. So I've heard that before, but you embrace the faith, you know, on your own. So I don't doubt that you're born again.
Of course. The question for me growing up was, not is Jesus real and not do I trust Jesus, but what am I going to do for him? And what is he calling me to? What means am I going to be sacrificing my life, and how much am I going to be sacrificing on his behalf? Those were the existential questions that I wrestled with growing up.
Yeah, so you knew the truth. The question is how you were personally going to respond to the truth that God had already revealed to you, and obviously you did. Well, Steve, I have a question. That the first one in your family back 100 years ago.
My great-grandmother, Helen. Yeah.
Your great-grandmother. What was her first name?
Helen.
Helen. Okay.
Yes.
And then, you know, I grew up after I became a believer in Jewish missions, and specifically in Jews for Jesus, which in a sense was an offshoot of the American Board of Missions to the Jews, where your great-grandmother, found the Lord. And so I grew up in, Jewish missions and Jews for Jesus, which has a connection to the American Board of Missions to the Jews. And I heard, from Moish Rosen about this wonderful woman, Hilda Kozer. And she's a relative of yours, right?
Yes, Hilda was one of the children of my great-grandmother. She's my great-aunt, my grandmother's sister. And as a matter of fact, she was a tremendous missionary, a pioneering missionary to the Jewish people. And she led a branch of the American Board of Missions to the Jews in Coney Island, which was a very, very Jewish neighborhood, a lot of Jewish immigrants, a lot of first and second generation Jewish immigrants going back to the 40s when she began her ministry there. And I really learned a lot from her. My grandmother passed away when I was 8, and so my great aunt Hilda really took over the role of not only grandmother for me, but spiritual mentor for me growing up. In fact, she's the one who really set my course. I remember hearing stories that were told and retold of how she would take me as a baby and how she would whisper in my ear, "You're God's child. He has special plans for you." And, you know, I guess from that point on, you know, I was brainwashed and that was it. But my course was set. But no, my aunt was a tremendous influence in my life. She was in a sense, like a Golda Meir figure when New York City wanted to close down the Coney Island branch because they wanted to build high-rises or projects or, you know, the kind of things they were building in the 70s. She literally went down to City Hall, Mayor Abe Beame at the time, and she fought City Hall, and she actually won. You know the expression, you can't fight City Hall? She could fight City Hall, and she won.
What made her work pioneering?
Well, what made her work pioneering, first of all, she was a woman, and there weren't that many men in the game at the time. There were, but there just wasn't enough workers. There were not enough workers to go around. Back in the, a lot of people think that the Messianic movement really didn't get started until the Jesus movement of the 70s, and that's really I consider that a myopic viewpoint. That's really not so. The great era of Jewish missions really began in the 40s and the 50s in the 20th century. And my aunt was right there at the forefront. She began this work out of nothing. Joseph Hoffman Cohn, who was the head of the mission at the time, he picked her up from Bible College, Philadelphia College of the Bible, and drove her to Coney Island, to this building. It was just a storefront. It was just a house. And he said, well, here's your headquarters. Let me take your bags out of the car. Here's the key. Go make a work. And he drove off, and he left her. And that was sink or swim at the time, and she swam. She reached out first to children, and then when the parents came to investigate, what is this Mishigas, what is this Mishigana nonsense that this lady is teaching my children, she would then share the gospel with the Jewish parents. And oftentimes she would share it in Yiddish with them, and they would argue messianic prophecy, and she would always be able to, without question, demonstrate from the scripture, from the Hebrew scripture, that Jesus was the Jewish Messiah. And so, in many instances, her most ardent foes and people who came with the finger wagging and the brows furrowed became her most ardent supporters later on.
That's great. And that's some story about Joseph Hoffman Cohen picking
that,
your...
That's a true story. Make a work, yeah.
I believe it. I mean, you know, in Jewish missions nowadays, like in most, you know, missions, there's extensive preparation to go into, you know, evangelistic ministry. Jews for Jesus has this whole, you know, intensive four-month training program, and they encourage people to have at least a year of Bible college. But Joseph Hoffman Cohen picks up your great aunt Hilda, drops her off at the storefront in Coney Island, and says, "Here's your place. Start the work." Wow.
That's exactly right. This is a brand new fresh graduate of Philadelphia College of the Bible. Can you imagine? I don't know what she's 22 years old, 23 years old, whatever she was at the time. And she did it, you know, and for 40 years, she led hundreds, I'd say actually she led thousands of people to the Lord. And many of the names of people that we know now in our messianic world, one of which we know is Mike Redelnik. He came to faith through my aunt, and many others that I could begin to name who are still in ministry because of her.
What a fantastic story! How God could use one woman who loves the Lord and has some chutzpah, some courage, some guts to reach out to and touch the lives of thousands who have, I'm sure, reached tens of thousands more.
Yes, absolutely. She changed my life, and she certainly helped set my course. I used to go down to see her when she retired. She went down from Brooklyn to Daytona Beach. So when I was a teenager and a college student, my parents would send me every spring break down to Daytona Beach to stay with my Aunt Hilda, you know, suffering for Jesus as I was on the beach. But she spent that time with me. It was not just, you know, me hanging out with the young people on the beach. I spent a lot of time with her during those weeks, and she drummed into me her heart, her soul, and shared with me exactly what needed to be done in Jewish missions, and poured herself into me, really mentored me, and gave me, I think, a tremendous leg up as a young man, as an immature man, as to what to expect in the future.
What a blessing to have a godly heritage like that, to have great aunts and this rich family history. That's a real privilege, Steve. You're blessed. Well, tell us more about how God has been using you and leading you into various aspects of ministry.
Well, you know, I graduated seminary. I went to Dallas Seminary, which was that's one of the major seminaries that if you're a Messianic believer, that's one of the major seminaries that you're going to go to. As a matter of fact, Susan Perlman of Choose for Jesus is on the board of directors there. It's a very important seminary. And so when I graduated there, I always knew that I wanted to do something with Jewish missions or Jewish ministry, something, et cetera, et cetera. And I got involved with a Messianic ministry and got some experience leading tours to Israel and got some experience on television teaching from Israel and doing interviews. And so eventually I decided that, well, it's time for me to start my own ministry. And so I did, and what would I call my ministry but Sojourner Ministries? That's my name, Gare, as you pointed out. And so this Sojourner has led other Sojourners, other spiritual wanderers to the Lord. And I did that for quite some time, and being friends with every other Messianic ministry and working alongside with Chosen People Ministries, which is what American Jews, American Board of Missions of Jews became, and Jews for Jesus and Friends of Israel and various other different organizations, and of course Ariel, which is the organization that I was most close with. I've been teaching up at Camp Shoshana, which is their Messianic Bible training camp up here in the Adirondacks, for about a decade. And then this year, Dr. Fruchtenbaum, Arnold Fruchtenbaum, the director of Ariel Ministries, asked me if I would be so kind as to come alongside them and to be the director of ministry operations to help run the ministry. And I said yes. So right now I'm in a period of transition. It's an interesting period for me to be in because I'm the director, functional director of two ministries. My own ministry, which Sojourner, which is still running, and then Ariel. We're trying to exactly come up with the right formula to blend the two together and eventually merge them together, so that I'll be just the functional director of one.
Well, that's great. Dr. Fruchtenbaum, Arnold Fruchtenbaum, is one of the great gifts of God, I believe, to the Messianic Jewish movement and to the Christian church. He's one of our great, you know, Bible teachers and scholars today. And how wonderful that you're helping him extend the blessings of Ariel Ministries.
Well, Fruchtenbaum was and continues to be one of the great spiritual, along with my aunt, Hilda, was really, Fruchtenbaum was one of the great spiritual influences in my life. And we're about 21 years. We're just kind of a generation apart. I have found myself all my life growing up in the same circle as Arnold, but growing up really right behind him. And wherever he has been, I have found myself following, found that as an adult, you know, and then starting my own ministry. Modeling Sojourner Ministries was modeled after Ariel Ministries, and finding ourselves together more and more on the conference circuit, the prophecy and the Bible conference circuit, and we got to know one another. And as I said, I've been teaching about a decade up here at Camp Shoshana. In fact, I'm at Camp Shoshana right now. That's why I'm in. I don't know if you can hear the cicadas and the crickets and the sounds of the great outdoors up here in upstate New York, almost at the Canada border. But he's a tremendous influence and a tremendous teacher, and I am delighted to be able to stand on his shoulders. I'm grateful that he's deigned to hoist me up onto his shoulders and said, "Let me give you a lift," so that we can carry on Ariel Ministries to the next generation.
That's really great. You're listening to Jesus Made Me Kosher. This is Rabbi Lauren, and I'm interviewing Steve Gare, who's a fourth-generation Messianic Jewish believer. And, Steve, tell us about a couple of your books that you've written.
Well, I had the privilege of being a nobody. And when publishers are looking for to be able to do new projects, they look for not big names that they have to pay big money to, but they look for people who haven't published yet or haven't had the opportunities to be able to charge the big bucks. And so I happen to, moving on the conference circuit, I've had the fortune to be asked by some of the editors of these publishing houses if I would please be so kind as to write some books for them. And so I started out with my first book was the Book of Acts. It was a commentary series called the 21st Century Commentary Series. And they wanted me to do Acts because they knew that I would bring a sociological and cultural sensitivity and perspective, messianic perspective, within the first, as I described, the first three decades of the church. And so I wrote the book of Acts. It's called Witnesses to the World. That's not really the original title of that book. That was something that the publisher decided to give it. I actually wrote the manuscript under the title, The Book of Acts, Who Let In All These Gentiles. I don't know why they didn't choose that title. I really thought it was marketing gold. But they liked that one so much, and that one actually wound up being, you know, I don't know if you know anything about, Bible commentaries, but, you know, they're never going to top the USA Today bestseller list or the New York Times. They're not huge sellers. And so they're measured not in the, millions or the tens of thousands. It's really measured in the thousands. And God was very gracious, and we sold several thousand of my Acts commentary. And so they asked me, they had one more book that they wanted me to do in that series. And that's it's nice to be asked for the same author to be asked to do two books within the same series. And they asked me to do Hebrews. And I said, well, of course, if I could do the book of Acts. I was very cocky at the time. I say at the time. Still am. But I'm accused, at least. I said, of course I can write the book of Hebrews. It'll take me about 6 months, not to worry. Because I figured if I could handle 26, 28 chapters in the book of Acts, then 13 chapters in the book of Hebrews would be a piece of cake. Not so. Book of Hebrews is incredibly dense, and it took me a year. And so I came up with a book and had a stomach full of humble pie at the same time. But so I have commentaries on the book of Acts and the book of Hebrews. Now, again, that's called Christ is Greater. That's not my title. It's really not necessarily a messianic sensitive title. My original title for the book of Hebrews was News from the Jews for Use. But again, they didn't go for that. That was kind of a Brooklynese title. And then I've got a book with Dr. Fruchtenbaum that we were asked to co-write. Two of us, so we're Jewish, and two Gentile believers, Randy Price and now Couch, wrote a commentary on every prophecy in the Bible, which we wrote together. So we divvied up the Bible together and wrote that, which I actually use that book as a reference, not just the part that I myself wrote. I think it's a very, very useful book. So I've been very, very fortunate. I've been very, very blessed to be asked to write books. And I'll be writing a lot more now that I'm working with Ariel and writing the stuff that Arnold, frankly, doesn't have time to write. You know, he's consumed with the things that he must write, but there are other things that we can write and should write in the Messianic world. There simply is not enough Messianic literature. Well, let me say there's a lot of Messianic literature out there, but there's not a lot of great Messianic literature, and so we must continue to produce helpful books for our community and for the larger Christian community to be able to understand what the Messianic movement is. They're still learning.
I think you're right, and I want to thank you for your contributions to our movement, your scholarly theological contributions, and I pray that God enables you to make even more contributions to our movement and to the larger Christian world in the days to come. And if people want to track down one of your books, what would they do? Go maybe to Amazon and type in Steve Gehr and look for.
Well, they can, but let me suggest even better. If they want to purchase one of my books or CDs or DVDs, one of our media products, www.sojournerministries.com. SOJOURNER, sojournerministries.com.
Okay.
And they'll be able to buy my books right there.
Very good. Sojourner Ministry, singular or plural?
Plural.
SojournerMinistries.com. Steve, thank you so much for being my guest on Jesus Made Me Kosher today. Thank you for taking time from your schedule in the Adirondacks at Camp Shoshana and talking to the Jesus Made Me Kosher audience today about being a fourth generation Messianic Jew and the contributions that need to be made to the Messianic Jewish movement. I pray God's blessings on you and your ministries. This is Rabbi Lauren. You've been listening to Jesus Made Me Kosher. Thank you so much, and I pray that God's shalom, shalom, his fullness of peace, his perfect peace, is yours in abundance.
Jesus Made Me Kosher is sponsored by Congregation Shema Yisrael, a community of Messianic Jews and kosher-hearted Gentiles who serve the three-in-one God of Israel. You can find us on the web at shema.com. That's S-H-E-M-A.com. If you'd like more information or have questions, you can also reach us by phone at 248-593-5150. That's 248-593-5150. To hear how Jesus can make you kosher, join us every weekday at 3:30 right here on Faith Talk 1500.